You're listening to Work in Progress. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, Editor-in-Chief of Working Nation. Work in Progress explores the rapidly changing workplace through conversations with innovators, educators, and decision-makers, people with solutions to today's workforce challenges. Even before the coronavirus pandemic, there was a shortage of cybersecurity workers. With the increase in remote work and the increase in cyber attacks such as ransomware, that need for workers has grown exponentially. Joining me to talk about that need and also an interesting program that might help create a talent pipeline for cybersecurity workers is Mark Ouellette, Senior Director for ICF and Program Manager for the Cybersecurity Youth Apprenticeship Initiative. Mark, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me today, Ramona.
Let's start, Mark, by talking about the overview of what the unmet demand for cybersecurity experts is now, or even entry level.
Yeah, great question. So we use a tool, and it's called CyberSeek. It's supported by really three groups: the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education, which we've been a member of for a number of years, and we work on a number of community interest groups, working groups to really address the need for more cybersecurity education. A group called Burning Glass, which really focuses on data, gets data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and creates it in an innovative way. And one of the leaders in cybersecurity education called TIA. So they came together. They have a website called CyberSeek, cyberseek.org, if you're interested. And what it's done, CyberSeek, is it's identified there's about 465,000 job openings in cybersecurity across the United States. And the interesting thing about this tool is you don't just go, wow, that's a big number. You can actually get into your community and look at a heat map, which will tell you what is the need, how many openings there are, what are the skill sets needed for both those entry level and the middle level professions, and what credentials you should be getting. So that's really kind of the data we use, and that's really the need. And that need has kind of fluctuated around the 500,000, 450,000, kind of depending on the data they get.
What does a cybersecurity worker do? So I'm sure there's multiple levels, just like any job. What skill is needed? Let's start with the entry level.
The thing about cybersecurity is that it's really industry agnostic. I mean, you're going to need cybersecurity folks in government, in schools, in banks, in hospitals now, because as you mentioned in the introduction, Ramona, there's so much ransomware happening. I mean, every day, you know, what was it? The pipelines were shut down in the southern part of the U.S. last winter because of a cybersecurity ransomware attack. At our level, which we focus on more entry level and younger professionals, it could be anything from protecting data to if you've moved to an at-home environment because of the pandemic, how is my at-home environment? Am I secure enough if I'm taking these secure files? Assessing, doing an audit of that environment. If you have a problem, something all of a sudden is going haywire and you don't know why, and you make a phone call and you have your IT help desk, those are all cybersecurity professionals. But it's also medical records in the hospital field, making sure that the data that you collect from all these COVID tests is secure and safe so someone doesn't hack into it and get your data and share it. And the other thing that I really like to think about is we all see these Facebook questions that come out and ask us, what's our favorite color? And you say, oh, it's red. Well, all of a sudden, you've got all these hackers that have a million bits of information about you. And when they hack into your system, they're going, the password might be red. Oh, your dog's name is purple. Purple is the name. So it's really, you know, people are constantly doing things, providing information themselves, thinking they're being fun. But really, it's making them more vulnerable to attacks. And so a cybersecurity expert, even at the entry level, is really educating their coworkers about what they can do to protect themselves and their work environment, and actually their personal environment as well.
That's a really great point about Facebook, because I saw a couple of those ads, and then I did see the stories around them saying, don't do this. Don't. I stopped doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, the other thing, even which I find, you know, still to this day, you have a Zoom meeting and you'll have 20 faces, first, last name, and somebody takes a picture and posts it. Well, all of a sudden, you know, a hacker's got your first name, your last name. They know what groups you're in. So whenever I'm posting anything, any of the Zoom meetings, I never put my full name. You know, I mean, you really, I mean, these little things that you think about are so random, so common, really, you know, they're providing opportunities for somebody to come in and steal your data.
And how does the cybersecurity expert worker help you if somebody does take that information? How do they come in and fix the problem?
So depending upon the industry where you're at, and depending upon if it's more of a personal or a larger hack, sometimes in a ransomware case, they'll pay the ransomware, or is what happened to my kid's school about a year ago. They decided not to pay and kids had to go back to pen and paper for 6 weeks. And what they did is they had to go through and clear every single password, look at every single web page, you know, check, go behind the system to make sure there was no more spyware on them. Clean all the spyware out. There are systems that you can use to do that. So part of it is that aspect, cleaning your system out. Part of it is making sure that your phone's updated. We just got, you know, iPhone. If you have an iPhone, you recently got, because the spyware is now on your iPhone, you have to update it. So constantly educating. I mean, I'm telling my kids all the time, update your phone. And they're like, Dad, I don't want to update my phone. I'm like, you need to. So part of it is helping your system. Part of it is helping your files. Part of it is making sure things are backed up. So if it is vulnerable, that you don't completely lose everything that you have, you still have records. So those are all elements that they provide. And then when COVID first hit, one of our clients, a local city, they had 3 of 13,000 workers working from home. All of a sudden, 13,000 people are working from home. And so one of our registered apprenticeship programs developed an audit sheet, and the young people that we support went into homes, you know, virtually, called in, you know, used the assist software to go in, check the environment to make sure it was secure, that the person could work from home safely and the work wasn't vulnerable to attacks.
So part of what you're doing now is working with the Department of Labor on this CYAI, as you call it. Can you explain how you're creating these programs for young apprenticeships?
Sure. So we support what's called Registered Apprenticeship, which is a national program where, and for our instances, because it's the youth apprenticeship, we are acting as an intermediary on the behalf of the Department of Labor. So the Employment and Training Administration within the Department of Labor has funded ICF to go in and support or register 900 youth apprentices in IT and cybersecurity by 2024. I was just looking at our data as of now. We're about 500 that we've been able to place. And what we do is we work with high schools, community colleges, community-based groups that are saying, you know, we see a need for better training. What curriculum is out there? We help them identify curriculum. If they need help recruiting young people, which nobody really does, but if they did, we help them with that. We help get the businesses to raise awareness about what does a young person do as a cybersecurity? What are their skill sets? Because apprenticeship for businesses are new if they're not in the traditional construction trades. And so a lot of employers are like, I need help. I need help right now. But they don't, you know, what's an apprentice? Is it, what do I have to do? And so we kind of are a bridge to combine those entities that are interested in providing training. We give them training resources. We help them align their training to their local employer needs. We help raise awareness with employers. And then we also fund programs. We actually have money from the department. It doesn't cover the entire cost of an apprenticeship, but it does cover some expenses. And so if you're a registered apprenticeship, we do give you funds per participant. And then we also help out with what are called capture the flag events, ethical hackathons, where what we do is there's a series of questions and the young people show their skills. We encourage employers to come, see what they're doing, see how qualified these individuals are. And that really is a match. Like, you see light bulbs going off with employers all the time. Wow, that person has that skill. How do I get them on my team? And so that's really kind of our role.
So this is apprenticeships for young adults 16 to 21. Mm-hmm. Are they through mostly businesses or through a school program? If I have a child 16 to 21, mm-hmm. how do I get them hooked up into this kind of apprenticeship?
Yeah, good question. So there's couple elements. So an apprenticeship is a job while you're learning. So usually you'll register through either your high school, a community college, community-based organization is usually who will do what we call the RTI, the related training instruction. That relating training entity will partner with an employer. So in some instances, it's large employers. You know, Google, IBM has really been championing apprenticeship for a long time, and they've got a number of different programs, and they've been very active with NICE, so I know them well. They will find employers, and that's always the tricky part for any of these RTI programs, finding employers that want to buy in. Sometimes it's small employers. So the training program will work with the employer. So if you sign up, the apprenticeship program, registered apprenticeship, is not going to take you until they can guarantee you have a job. If they can't give you work, they're not going to sign you up. And mostly it's work and learn at the same time. That's what makes apprenticeship unique from traditional college.
So it's a combination of classroom experience and practical experience?
Correct. It's a combination of practical. And some of our programs, like some of our high school programs, the individual will go to school for part-time, and then in the afternoon they'll go to work. Some of our programs that are more community-based, you'll spend 3 months learning the RTI, getting a basic security plus a skill, and then going in and working for 9 months and gaining that skill and getting mentoring and seeing how you do the actual work that you've just learned.
Do you think that there's certain skills that you need going in? Do you need to know any coding? Do you need to know any type of language? Or is it something that can be taught as you go along?
You can really teach it as you go along. We've had a number of examples of folks who were in a completely different field. I have an individual, his name is Andrew, who was going to go to community college, wanted to be in finance, didn't really know a ton about computers or coding, realized he couldn't afford finance, he couldn't afford community college, he couldn't afford the then four-year degree, the transfer. And so somebody told him about a training program that was teaching him coding and basic IT and cyber skills. And he went there, and he's been there for about 6 months now and absolutely loves it, thinks he's found where he wants to go. So it's not necessarily important. What's really more important is we're trying to push diversity in cybersecurity. And the reason for that is hackers are coming at it from different perspectives. And if you have the same group think, the same people have gone through the same program, they're going to approach every problem the same way. And, you know, different opinions, different approaches, different ways that attacks happen have to be addressed. And always trying to stay one step ahead of what those are. It's really important that you have a diverse audience. And a registered apprenticeship provides that diverse audience to get into this space.
As we've said, this is a paid apprenticeship. Yep. What type of salary are these students getting?
So our salary has been a little lower than we'd like in a lot of cases. So of those first 500, we've had a range from 12. Again, we're national, so take that in perspective. We've had a range from $12 to about $21. I would say the majority of them are in about the $15 range. But part of it is, you know, the way apprenticeship works as you show more skills, and we only take entry-level wages for our data. As you show more skills through your apprenticeship and you're able to demonstrate expertise in a skill, that wage goes up. So by the time you exit the apprenticeship program, you're on par with what an entry-level person in the field would be getting. So depending upon where you're located, what actual apprenticeship you're in, it could potentially be, you know, a six-figure salary. It just depends, really.
So this is a fairly new program, right? Is it second year or?
We just started our second year in June. So we go June to June.
It's not like you have somebody might be who had graduated and moved on into a new job into the field yet.
Yeah, we don't. The way it works for us, and that's actually a great question, is which what our Department of Labor, we have what's called the Corps Contract Officers Representative, and they've asked us, you know, they feel the problem with this whole program is they never asked us for long-term data, so we don't collect that, so we don't really know, like, because what's happened a lot, you know, somebody gets into an apprenticeship, we work with the apprenticeship provider, it's a year-long program to finish it, and 6 months in, they've got enough skill that, you know, another employer might pull them out of the program, be like, hey, I want you. And, you know, wow, I can keep working for another 6 months at $15, or all of a sudden I'm jumped up to $19 if I jump out of the apprenticeship program. So some of those people don't complete the apprenticeship program, but some of the guys I've talked to, and there's a really great guy out in St. Louis, he's like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm frustrated because it hurts my numbers, but that person got a job. And that's what I'm trying to do in a career that's growing, that's not just a dead end job for them. So I got to look at it that way.
Yeah, I was going to say that is
not really a bad problem to have, that you're giving them the skills that they can actually get those jobs.
Exactly.
Because, as you said, those jobs are well-paying jobs, and they're abundant.
Yep.
This would be a drop in the bucket, actually, to what is needed out there. And I know this is a field that you look at quite a bit, the workforce development. Are there any other programs out there that you've seen that can help maybe somebody who's in their 20s?
Yeah. Department of Labor right now has been funding at extraordinary levels a registered apprenticeship program. So this is just a youth program, so we're focused to 21, but there's industry and equity apprenticeship where CompTIA, who I mentioned earlier, the Washington Technology Association, Urban Institute, have a group called Apprenti, which has done some really amazing work up in Washington, who go beyond 21. And so, and actually a lot of community colleges that we talk to say, love your program, would love to work with you. Just our average age of our participant coming in is 27. And we try to tell them, if you have a cohort and you got 20, you might have one or two that's in our age group, and we'll take those one or two. I mean, you know, we're trying to get to 900 hook or crook.
Is your background in workforce development in general?
Yeah, it's in workforce development. Specifically, for a long time, I worked for a city agency designing programs for, we call out-of-school youth, so those 16 to 24 that are disconnected from work and disconnected from schooling, and try to find opportunities for them.
What's next? You're trying to get up to the 900. Yeah. Is there a way to expand that program for more kids, or is this a trial balloon?
This program that we're working under from the Department of Labor was the first time actually the Department of Labor came together to focus on youth apprenticeship with particular money and to try to raise awareness. I think they're pretty happy with what we've been doing. There's four of us contractors. We're the only ones that focus on IT and cybersecurity. Others focus on, you know, manufacturing and healthcare and other areas. So they've been happy with our work. Department of Labor has funded about 25 different grantees across the country. Those are called YAR grants. You can go on Department of Labor, Office of Apprenticeship, and get information about those. So they're looking to expand. Some states now are starting to invest in youth apprenticeship at high levels. There's been a lot of money going now to states to rethink their apprenticeship strategies. Some are really cutting edge and innovative. A standard registered apprenticeship program takes 2,000 hours of on-the-job training and 144 hours of instruction, whereas some youth apprenticeship, they realize they're in school and they reduce those numbers a little bit to accommodate for high school. We do have some high school programs where they're actually the CTE element is training on cybersecurity, and then they're hiring the school district itself, because they can't compete with wages, are hiring those young people to work in the school district to address their cybersecurity needs, their security needs. So there definitely are a lot of opportunities out there.
That's really fascinating, because we haven't talked a lot about these youth apprenticeship programs here at Working Nation, and I'm glad we can share it with the audience today.
Thank you so much, Ramona.
Thank you, Mark, for joining me. I've been speaking with Mark Ouellette, the Program Manager for the Cybersecurity Youth Apprenticeship Initiative. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, Editor-in-Chief of Working Nation. Thank you for listening.